The night is past. The dawn is here. The old has gone. The new has come. Let us rejoice in God's new day. Let us join in the movement of the Creator, the Spirit, and the Son. Now, if you don't like any of these hymns today, don't take it up with me. Take it up with these two good people who are Alistair and Liz, who are about to be members. We join to sing Meekness and Majesty. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. Almighty God, Creator, Saviour and Sustainer, we gather to worship. We praise your name forever the same, the constant I am. We proclaim your glory, which is beyond beauty or beholding. We acknowledge your holiness, perfect, pure, and unsullied. You are the maker of this amazing universe, constantly creating and recreating it. Every day is different, yet you are the same. You are the power breathing life into us. You are our companion. Since the last time we met together, we've gone in different directions, and some of us have made good choices and some of us have messed it up. For the wrong things that we've done, O God, we ask that you would forgive us. You who are constant and faithful, and yet we know what it is to be fickle and unfaithful. We have wasted parts of our lives. We have not used the full range of the talents that you've given us. Forgive us, O God, and strengthen us. Patient, loving God, set us free from our past. Enable us to worship you. But more, enable us to live lives that know and show that we are loved. Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Later on today, we are going to be hearing, those of us staying in this bit of our worship, are going to be hearing a reading, and the last line of it is that the good news of Jesus just spread around the area. People got to hear about something that he'd done, and people got to hear more and more about him. Let me ask you, what would you want people to hear about Kingston Unite Reformed Church? If news of Kingston Unite Reformed Church was to go around the area, what good things would you want people to know about us?
We're welcoming.
Welcoming. Caring. Somebody muttered something, but I didn't hear it. Were you being cheeky at the back there?
It's just quite nice.
Oh, no, we don't. Oh, that's right.
Christian,
all right, so we're a Christian church, because some people think, I think the United sometimes makes people think we're Moonies. We've had experienced that before, that we're the unification church. So Christian is a good thing, it's a good starter. We're a praying church. Caring, right. John, I'm on your case. Involved in the community, that we care about the community, so we care not only for one another, as they do in plenty of other good, wholesome organisations.
Free car park.
Free car park. I will.
We care about the Bible.
We care about the Bible. Anything else?
Full of normal people.
Speak for yourself, pet. Well, again, speak for yourself, pet. Janine just said, we won't preach at people. I will. You might not. Anything else?
Lively forward thinking.
Lively forward thinking. Good news. Good news. Good music. Right, so the question is, if these are the sorts of things that we want people to know about us, how are they going to know that? Somebody's going to have to tell them. Somebody's going to have to speak it in words as well as show it in lives. And guess who's that? Who that somebody is? Us is the right answer. And that is the challenge of being a follower of Jesus. Yes? Now, the next song is also quite a radical song. that goes to a wee jaunty tune and you think, oh yeah, here we go. But actually, it's a revolutionary song about turning the world upside down. Let's join to sing. The radical, life-changing ministry of Jesus goes on. And this is the story of an incident that happens in a town called Nain. A small incident that would, to those who were involved, have been the most amazing and radical thing. And this passage will be read to us by Philip Sawney.
Luke chapter 7. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, accompanied by his disciples and a large crowd. Just as he arrived at the gate of the town, a funeral procession was coming out. The dead man was the only son of a woman who was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart was filled with pity for her, and he said to her, "Don't cry." Then he walked over and touched the coffin, and the men carrying it stopped. Jesus said, "Young man, get up, I tell you." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They all were filled with fear and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to save his people." This news about Jesus went out through all the country and the surrounding territory.
It's an interesting question. Why would Jesus raise someone from the dead? If being dead is better than being alive, why would Jesus do that? I would say that the answer to that question comes in the response of in the story about the fact that this is a man who is the only son of his mother, you know, which means something for us, but in other communities around the world, and certainly in that community in that time, that's a major economic thing. It's not just about emotional attachment, it's also about, you know, who's going to look after me when I'm old, and all those sorts of things. So it's a major thing for this woman that her son is now dead. And we might be right, and we'll find out later, much, much later, we might well be right as our faith says that there is life beyond this life, and you know, all that is true. That might well be right. However, while we are on the earth, we have to live with the reality that some of those that we have loved are not here any longer. And that separation is tough. And I would say that we in the Christian community, we need to be a bit cautious about zooming through to, the safe with Jesus. Absolutely true. Not denying the truth of that, but I think we need to allow people to hold on to their real sadness at that time when somebody has died. It's not helpful to be so busy bringing in the good news that we don't take seriously the fact that moving from this world into the next is traumatic to those who are left behind. There is a distinction. that ultimately we believe this thing. But in the short term, that's not where we are, because we're still on the earth. So there are things that are ultimately true, but at this time, we're in an interim phase. And what you would put in that list of things is probably different from what I would put in that list of things. That things that we know ultimately will be this way, but for now they are not this way, and therefore I, because of the reality of living on the earth, have to behave in such and such a way. So, for example, when we're in heaven, the Lifra Milch will flow. No, that's heaven. Well, no, Pinot Grigio, right? The wine will flow and it'll be great, okay? However, on the earth, there are people who should not be drinking alcohol. Ultimately, it's okay. But for them, in this phase, it is not a good thing. And there are other people who have got their particular issues that ultimately God will sort out, but in the short term, they have to come to a different way of living. So that ultimately, this is true. However, for as long as I am on the earth, this is how I have to do it. It's about the reality of our flesh. And we, as Christian people, which, you know, the incarnation, we have to take that fleshliness seriously. And the real, just as I'm chugging by that, just park here, all those people whose addiction is something that actually is socially necessary. So for those people whose addiction is hand washing, for example, we all have to wash our hands, but that subtlety of that's too much. Or the food addiction. Or those whose addiction is work. But we'll take that another day. But we'll think on them. Ultimately, the church will be one. In heaven, there will not be a United Reformed Church section. Come on, over here. Annika. Oh, leave those Roman Catholics. Come on, come on, come on. No, that's not how it's going to be. In heaven, we will all be together. While we're on the earth, the church is fragmented. It's not right. Ultimately, we are one. While we're on the earth, we're in bits. And because of our fragmentation, we need to find a community that we can be a part of. Integrate into that community, shoulder to the wheel, doing what we do to the best of our ability in that rooted and grounded community. The fact that anybody should choose to be a part of Kingston Unite Reformed Church, it does not say, I've reached the top of the mountain. There is nowhere further I can go. That is not how it is. I'm sorry, but it's true. This is who we are. We do not say that anybody who becomes a member of this church should consider anything that's happened in their past secondary. So as Alistair and Liz become members of this church, all their past experiences in other churches, other groups and communities are important for their spiritual journey and are as valid. So ultimately we will be one, but for now, in our fragmentation, we have to be who we are and we have to play our part in a real group of people. So let me get back to the text. Jesus hands this young man back to his mother. She has nobody else but him. He is dead. Jesus intervenes. Life is restored.
Let me ask you. Don't get many stories of the rising of the dead in the New Testament. You could argue two, you could argue three. From Jesus, that is. Does the whole issue of the raising of the dead, is that too much for your understanding of faith? Is that just too wacky? Well, I just want to take it to, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if we believe that God is the creator of the universe, who somehow is invisible and somehow is inside us and moving us, I would say to you that Spirit who has given us life in the first place is able to raise from the dead. Actually, isn't that surprising? But I would say to you that what you need to get your head round is that the big leap from not believing in God to believing in God, that is the big jump. Anyway, back to the story. This young man is given back to his mother, and the implications of that ripple all around for those who are there, and also the good news goes out into the area. Who is this man? Prophet. Well, that's the first phase of who is this man. And for us, what is this thing that changes those people? What is that thing that makes those people do what they do and behave in that way? And how great, wouldn't it be just great if, when something happens in Kingston, they think, how can we get the churches, we know that the churches would help us with that. This thing happens, and they would know straight away that if we could help, we would help. And same for those around the area. If those people can help you, they will help you. That's the sort of people that they are. Not just time serving, not just interested in themselves, not just interested in using their money to make their lives easier. They are interested in doing God's work in a whole range of ways. And wouldn't it be great to have that reputation? Wouldn't it be great to be in Kingston and people would say, see that church? They are part of bringing life into Kingston. Those dead bits of Kingston. That we are part of raising them to new life. A group of people who know that we can do nothing unless we are leaning on God. Don't do our own strength, haven't got any. But we do it inspired by the Spirit. We do it because we have good news, and we do it because we believe that God loves the people of Kingston, whether they know it or not. And God, unlike us, has the power. Let us be still, and then we will pray. We pray, O God, for those places around the world where good news feels a very strange concept and language. For those who are living with the consequence of the oil spill. For those in Cumbria who have seen and experienced traumatic and tragic events this week. And for those who have been bereaved and for those who have been bereaved weeks, months, years ago, and yet still every now and then the experience is as raw as though it was yesterday. And for ourselves with our own sadnesses. Forgive us, O God, when we move too quickly to good news. Help us, O God, to take seriously the interim nature of life on the earth. Give us the courage to sit with those who are weeping. And may we one day, O God, know you as the one who will dry our tears. Lord, we pray. Amen. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we believe to be the only head of the church, and it is in accordance with the decision of the church meeting of Kingston United Reformed Church that we are now to receive Alistair and Liz Borthwick into membership of this congregation of the United Reformed Church. It is by baptism that they have been received into the membership of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. They have affirmed their baptism, confessed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord, and have accepted the full privileges and responsibilities of membership of the Church of Christ in other places. But for now, they are going to pledge to be a part of this community for this season of their lives. But first, Alistair is going to tell us something of the background story.
Liz and I are both from Edinburgh. We have a Church of Scotland background. For Liz, her dad ran the Sunday school at their church. She was superintendent for a number of years, so she had no choice. She had to go. She went from day one, I think, and she had a great time there, and through her childhood and her youth. I went to Church of Scotland, different Church of Scotland, of course. It was my mum who took me, and I had two sisters, so we went along on a very regular basis and enjoyed that. When I went to college, I was studying through in Paisley, and I went to a Scottish Episcopal church, and I think although I might be slightly wrong in saying this, it's like the Church of England in Scotland, and fine, anyway, I worshipped there because the family I stayed with, that was their church. We left Edinburgh in 1988, and at that time, just before we left, we were married. we were worshipping back at Lizzie's family church. We're worshipping there with our daughter Claire, and we had a number of years at that church, and we were pretty involved doing a number of things, and that was a good time. And when we go back to Edinburgh, we go back there because her mum and dad are still there. And it's great to meet up with old friends, so that's good. Well, we came to Surbiton in 1988, and within a year or so, we joined the Methodist Church at Surbiton Hill, and we've had a great time there. Again, a number of roles, good fun, good memories, good friends. But it's fair to say that, I'll say a year ago, anyway, a number of months ago, we did feel called to move on, frankly, to seek different ways of worship, different opportunities, different ways to serve. And, you know, that was perhaps a surprise. We'd been there 20 years. What's the problem? But we had also felt at that time, before then, that if we ever did leave Surbiton Hill, there was only one other place we'd go to, and it was this church. And the reason is, to us at least, it was a church that was heavily involved in social action, had a good reputation for being involved in the community, and frankly, it's just something that I guess we could identify with. So we thought, well, if we did move, we would come here. And getting this feeling that we should move, well, here we are, and we're delighted to be here. With regard to faith, wow, that's a big one, isn't it? But we all think about our faith. And, you know, is it just, are we going to church out of habit? Is it a convenient social club? Is it, do we like it because it's full of, I don't know if you've heard this, PLUs, people like us, you know? We identify with our people like us. Anyway, hopefully it's a lot more than that. Well, for me, I just can't get over the example that Jesus gave us of love in action. I mean, it is huge. God just loves us. There's no qualification to that. We don't deserve it. It just pours out. And he doesn't always love what we do, but, you know, he's there to support us. And when we get things wrong, he's definitely rooting for us, and we can lean on him. So, you know, I see Jesus' teaching as both too clever and too simple for it to be, you know, purely man's construction. There's definitely something God inspired in all that. Well, of course there is. But, you know, trying to rationalize it as a human being, for me, that's a big issue. And we were singing earlier about God turning up things upside down. The power that goes with that is so strong that it is one of, I think, many supports and foundations for my faith. Something that Liz and I have enjoyed over a number of years is going to Spring Harvest. It's a Christian gathering, a conference, spiritual event, worship, teaching. It's a huge event, and it has supported us in our Christian journey. And it's an annual thing, and we hope to go next year. But it's, you know, elements of it are pretty radical, elements of it are traditional, but It's great, and we have benefited hugely by it. Well, today we're delighted to be joining Kingston URC. We would want to say thanks to everyone for making us feel so welcome to date. Particular thanks to Leslie for all her kindness. And we do look forward to getting to know everyone better and to fully participating in the life of this church. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, I'm about to lose my mic. Thank you, that was great. Would you like to
Hoist yourselves to your feet.
Do you confess anew your faith and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maker of heaven and earth, giver of life, redeemer of the world?
I do.
Do you promise to continue in the worship and fellowship of the church in this congregation, accepting the gift and call of following Christ and proclaiming by the of God in Christ? Your response, if it is right, is we do with God's help. In welcoming Alistair and Liz as fellow members into the life of this church, do you promise your friendship in the Lord, and will you give them your support in prayer and service so that they with us may continue to grow in the knowledge and love of God and witness to Jesus Christ, our risen Lord? We do with God's help. Let us pray. God of grace, you call us to be your servant people. You gather us into the body of Christ. We thank you for calling Alistair and Liz to be among us. Power of your covenant to live in your spirit, to love each other, and to share the mind of our Lord and Saviour. Bless Liz and Alistair in their life together. Strengthen them for your service. Help us to be open to their leading. And may we together be part of the bringing in of the reign of God. Lord, we pray. Amen. Where is he? Oh, there he is. Let me shake you by the hand and wish you well. And you'll be Alistair, you'll be Liz. Right. Next time around your house, I expect to see those framed. And you're right. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. This prayer comes from the Church of Scotland, so let us pray. Save us, Lord, from the temptation to buy what we do not need, from confusing what we need with what we want, from wasting what we do not own, from owning what we will never use, from idealizing the past as a golden age, from bequeathing our children a sorry inheritance. Strengthen the arm and the will of all who work for the good of the world that you have made, and love and challenge our greed and inform us about appropriate living. May their words gain a good hearing so that the world may have a good future. Amen. We join to sing, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." A couple of practical things before we start. If you are a person who has an issue with alcohol, good news, there's no alcohol in this wine. If you are a person who has issues with wheat and gluten, good news, on any of the trays that the elders offer you, you'll find that there is a bit of biscuit which is wheat and gluten-free. people of God, rush to this table. You who know that you are welcome here. People of God, gather at this table, knowing that what is on offer comes with God's blessing and is a sign that God loves us. But approach this table with caution if you think that somehow you have bought a ticket to eat here. If you come thinking that God owes you something. Approach this table with caution if you are choosy about who you eat with. For everyone is welcome at this table. But come and be fed, and come and have your deepest hungers met. Hear again the words of the institution of this feast as they are given by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus and following his example, we take this bread and this wine, and as Jesus gave thanks, so let us offer our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing you. Knowing something of you. Thank you that you love us and care for us. Thank you for the gift of our faith that is sometimes solid and sometimes thin as gossamer. We thank you for those who have journeyed with us, those who have talked with us, those who have supported us when we were down. Those who have laughed with us when we celebrated. Those who showed us real love when we needed it. Thank you for all those other times when we have gathered at your table and celebrated the Eucharist, but in different ways, with different names. When we have listened to the deep bass singing of the priest and the cantor. When we have been part of intricate liturgies, when we have knelt gathering round the communion rail, when we have stood in reverence. Thank you that you are there in such places as you are here. Be known to us, God, through this bread and through this wine. May these plain things point us towards heaven. Lord, we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he took the cup and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." You're most welcome to eat with us. The way that it happens in this United Reformed Church is when you get the bread, you eat it, and when you get the wine, you hold it and we will all drink together. The body of Christ. the blood of Christ. So let us pray. Almighty and all-loving God, we admit that we have tried to do things in our own strength. We've tried to live according to our own agenda, our own priorities, that we've lived for ourselves and loved only those who love us. But we bow the knee before you now and we accept your authority over our lives. We commit ourselves to seek to love you with all that we are and all that we have, and to love sisters and brothers as you have loved us, to love our neighbours as we love ourselves, to try even to love those who are enemies to us. So help us, strengthened by this time and this table, to be your people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Lord, for the years we join to sing. know that as you go out after a 10 o'clock communion, there are offertory plates, which goes into a fund, which I use and nobody knows how I use. I'm going to send off to the minister of Whitehaven this week a cheque with instructions to spend it on something frivolous. Not necessarily for him, but for anybody that he knows. So that's where that some of that fund will be going. A prayer of blessing. May the unchanging God be our centre. May the all-loving Son be our source. May the ever-moving Spirit be our spur, this week and forevermore. Amen.